Live from the 607, it's the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour, where we're talking everything going on in the world of sports. Join in the conversation on social media with the hashtag ODPH, because here we go. Welcome to an all-new edition of the ODPH Podcast. What's happening, everybody? My name is Ken M. Joining me in studio, as always, you know him. He's the co-host. His name is Padawan J.
Well, let me talk to you.
Yeah, boy, do we have a lot to talk about in the land of sports.
Do we?
I think so, my friend.
I don't know. There's not much going on right now.
Yeah, it's a jam-packed episode of the ODPH Sports Edition, and we definitely want to keep that conversation rolling after the show. So, Pat, where does everybody head on over to?
ODPHpodcast.com.
Right on. Swing on over to the website. Check out all the social media links. We're all updated and all good to go, so we definitely can keep talking about the topics you hear on this episode and much more on those social platforms. So definitely make sure you sign up, subscribe, do what you got to, and keep that conversation rolling. Also, check out the TeePublic store link. A lot of stuff is happening over there, and you never know when a sale is going to pop up. So if you want to get some ODPH swag, that is the time to do it. Also, check out the Patreon link. One tier, $2 a month. Shout out to all our amazing patrons. So definitely have to see what we're going to do for this month for them. So if you're interested in that and getting that bonus content, there you go. Also, check out the blog section where you have reviews dropping left and right. The classifieds, which have friends of the show, such as 3FN Podcast, Dragon Master Games, Nerd Initiative, and so many more. Also, the directory. Pad, how many providers are we on?
It's over 9,000.
He's not wrong. That is why he is a statistician to the stars. And also, make sure to check out the music section of the show where you can hear such great bands as Brian Wolf and the Howlas, Second Suitor, Tom Jolu, Shout of the Robots, Floodlands, and many, many more that are so gracious in donating their music to us to play on the show and on commercials and all the fun stuff that we do, so we can't thank them enough. And basically, if it's anything and everything that is ODPH that I forgot to say, you can find it at ODPHpodcast.com. And always remember on social media to use the hashtag ODPHpod. Kicking off this edition of the sports show, it has been a wild 48 hours.
Christ almighty.
Since NFL free agency has kicked off and are recording.
Well, it's the legal tampering period. Nothing's official until Wednesday, but this is the period where teams can announce they've talked to guys and all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of moving and shaking going on.
Yeah, there is.
To put it mildly. So let's recap what we know. Let's talk about the moves that were done. So, Pad, kick us off.
Yeah, so this is coming to us from a list at NFL.com. Thank you to these folks, because I tried finding and making a spreadsheet myself for this, and that proved very difficult.
Yeah.
So this is, as of 3:20 p.m., a little peek behind the curtain here, as of 3:20 p.m. on March 12th, 2024, from NFL.com. And they have this organized by division, not, you know, when it necessarily happens. So this is we're going to go by division, and just for the sake of unbiasedness, we're going to leave the AFC East for last.
Okay.
So we're going to start with the NFC West. For the Arizona Cardinals, they have re-signed offensive guard Tristan Colon to a one-year deal, defensive lineman Justin Jones to a three-year deal, Mack Wilson to a three-year deal, and then cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting to a three-year deal for those fine folks. For the Los Angeles Rams, they re-signed DeMarcus Robinson to a one-year contract. They signed tight end Colby Parkinson to a three-year contract. Offensive guard Kevin Dotson was re-signed to a three-year contract. Offensive guard Jonah Jackson signed a three-year contract, and then cornerback Darius Williams signed a three-year contract. For the San Francisco 49ers, they re-signed quarterback Brandon Allen on a free agent deal. According to Ian Rappaport, there's no years given with this. Mm-hmm. Offensive tackle Colton McKivitz signed a one-year extension. Edge Leonard Floyd signed a two-year deal. Edge Yedder Gross-Matos signed a two-year deal. Defensive tackle Jordan Elliott signed a two-year deal. And then safety/strong safety George Odum re-signed on a two-year deal. And then lastly, certainly not leastly, for the Seattle Seahawks, they re-signed a tight end Noah Fant to a two-year deal. And then defensive end Leonard Williams re-signed for a three-year deal. If you want to see any dollars, amounts, and all that stuff, you can look that up yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I think for overall this division didn't really make a lot of crazy moves. I mean, solid moves.
Yeah.
But nothing that was really like a huge whoa factor.
Yeah. They're pretty well established.
Well, I mean, you have to think about it. Seattle did not need that much retooling.
No.
Arizona is Arizona. Wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco, Super Bowl
participants.
Right. So you don't really need a lot. It's just a matter of who you're retaining.
Yeah.
And the LA Rams, I mean, have always been a big question mark.
Yeah.
But going by those moves, I mean, nothing really jumps out at me. I don't know about you, Pat.
No, nothing really jumps out at me either. I mean, I think the team that needs the most work, and it's not a surprise that they're one of the teams in this division that made the most moves, is the Arizona Cardinals.
Agreed.
Terrible last year. Not real good. So the fact that they're addressing some needs there on defense, they got the offensive guard locked up there. I would say maybe some steps in the right direction, but time will tell.
Agreed.
Then we're going to go to the worst division in the NFL. That is the NFC South. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, smartest move they could have made.
Agreed.
Re-signed Baker Mayfield to a 3-year, $100 million deal. Re-signed Mike Evans to a 2-year deal. Re-signed defensive lineman Greg Gaines. And then also Antoine Winfield Jr., that's the safety there, received the non-exclusive franchise tag. And then kicker Chase McLaughlin re-signed on a 3-year contract.
Thought they did probably the smartest moves they could with Baker. Yes. And Mike Evans.
Yes. No, absolutely. And you got to figure with that contract for Evans, he will finish out his career in Tampa Bay.
Agreed.
For the New Orleans Saints, they agreed to a new 2-year deal with linebacker DeMario Davis, and they signed Tyrann Mathieu, yes, the Honey Badger, to a new 2-year contract worth up to $13.75 million and a whole bunch of other stuff. For the Carolina Panthers, they signed offensive guard Robert Hunt to a... Listen, I'm not going to read every dollar amount. Some of these I'm going to read. They signed offensive guard Robert Hunt to a 5-year, $100 million deal. They signed offensive guard Damian Lewis to a 4-year, $53 million deal. They'd agreed to terms on a 3-year deal with defensive tackle Ashawn Robinson. They re-signed cornerback Troy Hill on a 1-year deal. And they re-signed left safety J.J. Jansen to a 1-year deal. And then for the Atlanta Falcons, because, Ken, who is Atlanta?
What is Atlanta?
Atlanta might have their quarterback, although this man's agent is the greatest agent in sports history.
Salute to him.
Holy fuck. They signed quarterback Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $180 million contract, includes a $50 million signing bonus. $100 million of it is guaranteed, and then including a $90 million in 2024 and 2025, and another $10 million in 2026. Fuck.
Brilliant.
They also signed wide receiver Darnell Mooney to a 3-year contract, and then they also re-signed left safety Liam McCullough. They re-signed him.
Well, obviously, Kirk Cousins was the number one quarterback to get in the draft.
Uh-huh.
I mean, free agency draft, that's how I'm referring to it as.
Yep.
And sure enough, Atlanta might have overpaid.
He's 35. He turns 36 in August.
But they needed something. And Cousins is a vast upgrade from what they've had.
Yeah, since the Matty Ice days.
Mm-hmm. So when the expectations are low, you need to make a splash.
And we're talking like bottom of the floor low.
Mm-hmm. And for Cousins, I mean, his career has been very interesting to watch.
Decent in the regular season. Postseason? Yeah, well, you know.
Well, the deal with Cousins is he can play.
Oh, sure.
And note the word can.
Sure.
But motivation, in my opinion, has varied. Mm-hmm. And unless you get him fired up,
uh-huh,
he doesn't show up.
I've had a couple people ask me, oh, is Cousins worth that money? And to which I say, no.
No.
Like, is he good in the regular season? Sure.
Sure, but
he's decent. But you look at his record in the playoffs, 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
He faced as a part of the Washington Commanders.
Bum, 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 bum.
He faced the Seattle Seahawks, lost that game. 2016, also a part of the Washington Commanders, faced the Green Bay Packers. These are both in the wild card round, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
Lost that game. 2020 was his only win, this time with the Minnesota Vikings, again, wild card round, defeated the New Orleans Saints. And then in 2020, next round, divisional round, went up against the San Francisco 49ers, lost that game. And then in 2023, in the, you guessed it, wild card round against the New York Giants, lost to the Giants. So, like, regular season and stats in the regular season are great and all, but if I'm paying that a dude that much money for that many years at the age of, he'll be 36 by the time the regular season starts,
mm-hmm,
you better get me something. And now.
Well, I think that it shows the desperation level Atlanta's in.
That is true.
They needed to make a splash. I mean, there's no other way you can cut it.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to do something. They've been trying to restock their lineup, obviously, mm-hmm. since the Super Bowl era.
Yeah.
That they still mentally have not gotten over. I'm sorry to put it mildly. Getting Cousins in there helps.
Sure.
Is it enough to get him to the Super Bowl?
Kyle Pitts, Drake London. They got the Robinson kid.
They have the biggest amount of potential on the planet.
Then again, he did too when he was in Minnesota.
Right. And that's the whole thing.
Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, say what you will about him, but hey, he was still a decent body up there.
Mm-hmm. He is adequate. That is the biggest compliment you can give him.
Yeah.
He's adequate.
Yeah.
Is he enough to get you over the hump? I don't think so.
No.
I would say I'm not banking on them.
Then again, it is the NFC South.
Right. I mean, they have a play.
By default, somebody has to win that division.
Right. And you know what? He has a chance to win that division because it's that bad.
Yeah.
Will he?
Yeah, we'll see.
That's the biggest X factor.
Then we're going to switch to the NFC North, and the Chicago Bears agreed to a 3-year contract with running back DeAndre Swift.
Shocking at this.
Yeah. Then offensive lineman Ryan Bates got acquired from the Bills in exchange for Chicago's 2024 fifth round pick. The cornerback Jalen Johnson re-signed to a 4-year $76 million contract. Safety Kevin Byard agreed to a 2-year contract. And then left safety Patrick Scales re-signed on a 1-year contract. Those are the ones for Chicago. For Detroit, couple of moves here. Clearly, they're not happy with their results last year.
Mm-hmm.
Graham Glasgow, the offensive guard, agreed to a 3-year contract extension. Edge Marcus Davenport agreed to a 1-year contract. Linebacker Jalen Reeves-Maben agreed to a 2-year contract extension. Cornerback Carlton Davis was acquired from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers along with 6th-round picks in 2024 and 2025 in exchange for a 2024 third-round pick. Cornerback Emmanuel Mosley re-signed on a free agent deal. Cornerback Amik Robertson signed a 2-year deal. And then kicker Michael Bagley re-signed on a 1-year deal. For the Green Bay Packers, they signed running back Josh Jacobs to a 4-year, $48 million deal. Tight end Tyler Davis re-signed. Corey Ballantyne re-signed with the team. And then cornerback/returner Keyshawn Nixon re-signed on a 3-year contract. And then safety Xavier McKinney signed a 4-year deal worth $68 million. And then lastly, certainly not leastly, the Minnesota Vikings. They signed quarterback Sam Darnold to a 1-year deal. The Aaron Jones, former running back.
I want to get into that.
Agreed to a 1-year deal. Tight end Johnny Munt re-signed with the team. Offensive tackle David Quessenberry re-signed with the Vikings. Edge Jonathan Grenard signed a 4-year, $76 million deal. Edge Andrew Van Ginkel signed a 2-year contract. Linebacker Blake Cashman signed a 3-year contract. And then kicker John Parker Romo, wonder if there's any relation, signed with the team. Thing I want to note first, before we get into all the juicy stuff. One thing I noticed with this division, Detroit. How many dudes did I mention that are all extensions or re-signed? It's like more than half.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly buy into that culture, and that team is going to be good the next couple years.
Well, the one thing I really love about Detroit is they address defense, because that's that's been the only thing that hurt them this year. And you have to remember, too, early in the season, they suffered at least 3 season-ending injuries for their starters on defense. So the fact that they jumped in and really address this, I love.
So out of the 7 names I mentioned, I just counted up, 4 of them are either extensions or re-signed.
Yeah.
I'm not the best at math, but that's more than half.
Yeah. So they're addressing needs. I love what Campbell's doing.
I do too.
I thought that they had a very quiet but yet impactful free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Because obviously everybody knows with the number one pick, what are they going to do? Justin Fields is still there. As our recording time.
As of recording time. By the time this gets published, who the fuck knows?
Right. There's a lot of rumors going around. In fact, I'm hearing a lot heating up for the Raiders.
Ooh.
Now, I'm not saying that's official. I'm just saying I'm hearing a lot of just internet talk. But take it as that. It's
mm-hmm.
a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
But this also goes to show with Fields, and if they're going to keep him, what are you going to do with that number one pick?
And also, you got to think of that draft class Fields came in on, where it was him, I believe Darnold was in on that class, and everybody else, Trevor Lawrence was in there, Mac Jones, which we'll get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That entire draft class, Fields came in on, Trevor Lawrence will be the, because by the time the regular season starts, I don't expect Justin Fields to be on the Chicago Bears.
No.
Where he is, only, you know, the fates know.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you look at that draft class, and by the time the regular season starts, presumably, Trevor Lawrence will be the only team left on the team that drafted him is wild.
It's insane, but it shows the parity in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
And it shows that sometimes, you know, the college game does not transfer over for whatever reason.
Facts.
This isn't on him. I do like Fields as a quarterback.
Oh, I do too.
I just think they've never given him a real shot in Chicago.
It's a shit situation.
Yeah.
It's like Alex Smith for, you know, his first however many years when he was in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Decent play. Like, you look at his stats, decent player. But we knew what he had, and it's just how many offensive coordinators did Alex Smith go through in his first, like, 10 years?
Yeah, it's insane to think about. But unfortunately, Fields is going through the exact same thing.
Uh-huh.
So now you have to kind of take a look at, okay, as of right now, it looks like they're going to keep him. I don't think that's a bad move. I'm not sold on Caleb Williams. I've said this many times.
Right.
Between Alabama and USC quarterbacks, I don't really put a lot of faith in the pro level, just because their programs are so stacked in college.
Right.
I think it camouflages a lot.
Well, and I think also you look at I can see them keeping Justin Fields, and even despite if they draft Caleb Williams or whoever they end up deciding, because I expect them to draft a quarterback when it comes time for the draft. But you just look at, like, okay, I expect them to sit whoever they draft in the upcoming season, because you just look like, because you got to figure, okay, we're going to sit this rookie, you know, the first half of the season, first entire season, whatever it ends up being.
Sure.
You got to have somebody there at least somewhat competent to, you know, go out there and fill the holes, you know. So we'll get through the rest, but, like, spoiler alert, here's some of the names that are still unavailable as of recording time: Ryan Tannehill, Teddy Bridgewater, Tyler Huntley, Joe Flacco, Brian Hoyer, Joshua Dobbs, Easton Stick, Nate Sudfeld, Blaine Gabbert, Josh Johnson, Carson Wentz, Kyle Allen, Brandon Allen, Trevor Siemian, AJ McCarron, Matt Barkley. Like, are you really sitting there, like, because you obviously want to contend in games, you want to, like, keep it close and try to win. You know, Fields isn't great, but he's better than some of those names I read.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's going to be the problem that they're going to have to figure out. That obviously, if you drafted Swift, or I'm sorry, you picked Swift off from the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
that's a big move.
Yeah, it is.
So you're trying to say that we want to win now? I mean, question mark?
Or maybe they're finally trying to set up an offensive identity other than, hey, our offense is Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big X factor of this team. So I don't know. I mean, it was real puzzling about their moves. And if I'm a Bears fan, I don't really have a ton of confidence going into the draft. I'm sorry.
I mean, have they had a lot of confidence since they went to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman? Realistically,
I mean, the bar is low, but you have to think, you get all these number one picks and you're making moves. Like, it's got to start turning around sometime.
Yeah,
that's the situation if you're a Bears fan, because they loaded up a couple seasons ago in free agency on their defense. Mm-hmm. It hasn't panned out. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So now you kind of look at your offense and what you got to do. And I mean, obviously, it's a mess there.
Yeah.
So the fact that we're still at an uncertainty level with Caleb Williams and what the Bears are going to do at number one,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't put me at ease if I'm a Bears fan.
I mean, knowing Chicago, they're going to take Caleb Williams.
You would think.
Is it the right move? Maybe, maybe not.
We'll have to see. But Fields, I guarantee you, won't be there to back him up. Like, they're going to have to go get, like, a Ryan Tannehill, pay him for 1 year. And then
could be.
You have to do that. I'm sorry, if you keep Fields there, that is going to be asking for more problems than you want.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, granted, in the NFC North, it is kind of wide open after Detroit. I will say this, though.
Woo-hoo.
Green Bay.
They got some stones on them.
Stones, yeah. That's the easiest way you could put it. Josh Jacobs is a great ad.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to stay with the Raiders. They really paid a lot, I think more than he was going to get with any other team.
Yeah, Jacobs signed the four-year deal, as I mentioned. It is a $48 million deal that includes $12.5 million signing bonus and a total of $14.8 million in year one. That is according to Ian Rapoport and Tom Pelissero.
Yeah. So I understand that move.
Mm-hmm.
Albeit, though, Aaron Jones, who took a pay cut.
Well, there's a little bit to that. He did take a pay cut. But this is, so the reports came out today that the Packers wanted to re-sign him, but they wanted to take him at a 50% pay cut from what he was making. And reportedly, he said no. So then reportedly, the Packers moved on and went and signed Josh Jacobs. And then Aaron Jones ends up in Minnesota, as we mentioned, on a one-year, $7 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we want an insight into the mind of one Aaron Jones, you ain't got to look far. We go to the man's Twitter account, at Showtime, and time is T-Y-M-E, underscore 33. He quote tweeted Rom Dvoski, who said, quote, "The Packers did not set out to sign a big-name running back, but when talks with Aaron Jones about a pay cut broke down last week, they quickly pivoted over the weekend and decided to go after free agent Josh Jacobs." Aaron Jones tweeted, crying while laughing emoji, skull emoji, "Every story has three sides to it." Close quote.
See, that's where I kind of side with Jones on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's just something very fishy about what the Packers did.
Because you don't often see, obviously in a couple minutes we're going to talk about one, but you don't often see free agents jump from like one division rival to the other division rival. He could have gone anywhere because Aaron Jones is a pretty damn good running back.
Very solid running back.
He's not the best, but he's very dependable. This to me, and especially being only 1 year, $7 million, he's clearly got something like something else happened behind the scenes where there's more to this than we know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is clearly the biggest fuck you to the Green Bay Packers he can give.
Oh, completely. Well, you have to think about it. Jones had been such a loyal teammate and player for the organization. Same thing with David Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari, yeah.
Who, I mean, that was their identity for years. The fact that he got released, insane to me. And like I say, 11 years he'd been with the organization, and then he's gone. Which I mark my words, he's going to wind up as a Jet this year. Just going to say it right now, I've accepted it, and you know it's fine.
I wonder why that would happen.
Yeah, unless he comes to Buffalo, which I'd be ecstatic about.
He would fit in Buffalo.
I was saying, yeah, he is
just on persona alone.
I would take him in a heartbeat. I'm not going to lie. So
that man screams, I jump through tables.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the whole thing. You need an identity, especially with Jordan Love up there. You need to give him some help. Jacobs is fine, but the fact of how weird the optics are with these moves the Packers did in releasing and not re-signing.
Yeah, Jacobs only 26 years old.
Yeah, that's...
He's still got some...
Oh, well, Jacobs, you know, was the previous regime of the Raiders... I could understand him wanting to leave.
With
Antonio Pierce there, I thought he would come back because they're building something there.
Sure. Clearly, Jacobs hurt a little bit last year. He only played in 13 games where he had 233 attempts rushing, 805 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Receiving-wise, he had 37 catches, 296 yards, no receiving touchdowns.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a down year.
A little down year, but, you know, he'll help up in the Packers.
Yeah.
He will help them.
Color me shocked. The Packers actually have a decent run game?
Well, we'll have to see if they utilize him.
That's true.
The jury is still out, but
that's true.
The fact that they did some very questionable moves, I give them a very low grade in this draft, even with Jacob signing. That's just me.
Then we go to the NFC East and the Washington Commanders.
Bum, 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 bum.
Signed quarterback Marcus Mariota to a one-year contract. They signed Austin Eckler, the running back, to a two-year contract. Tight end Zach Ertz signed a one-year contract. Guard Nick Allegretti signed a three-year contract. Center Nick Biadasz, B-I-A-D-A-S-Z, signed a three-year contract. Edge Durant Armstrong signed a three-year contract. Linebacker Frankie Louvu signed a three-year contract. Kicker Brandon McManus signed a one-year contract. And then left safety Tyler Ott signed a three-year contract. Hey, good addition picking up Austin Eckler there. That ain't bad. Quarterback, a little surprised.
Yeah. Where do you go here? Okay, Eckler, which I am surprised. I know we'll get a DM from Rich from 3FN about this. How the fact that the greatest running back of all time is, you know, was one of the last ones signed in free agency is beyond us. If you know the inside joke, you know the inside joke. But no, with Eckler there in all seriousness, it is a solid move, but then again, who's steering the ship there?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. To go from the Chargers, where it was a very potent offense, I think, unfortunately, you're going to see a decline there.
Could be.
And we'll have to wait to really see
that. Maybe the new ownership really sold him on that. Because I've heard a lot of people talking about the new owners for Washington very highly. That, like, They went to the combine this year, which you almost never hear of owners going to the combine. So like maybe Eckler sat down with the ownership and like they really made a good impression on him.
Well, I think so. I think that we are going to see Washington return to prominence in a very short amount of time.
God, their fans, I sure hope so.
Well, you'd have to think that they have to. Obviously, Dan Snyder gone helps immensely.
Oh, get a new stadium and you're on the road to easy.
Right, that's the only thing. But this is not going to be. I still think they're a couple years away.
Yeah.
And even if they wind up getting the number one pick for Caleb Williams, I mean, still, that is in play. I don't think it's going to be enough at first.
No.
I mean, the one thing is, when we're going to be breaking down more of the teams here, there's still one team that's head and shoulders above everybody else here.
Yup.
And then you have Dallas ahead of you still.
Uh-huh.
I mean, honestly, you're right now competing with the Giants. So, I mean, I just gave the lead away, but still it is what it is because I know we're going to break down their moves in just a second. But let's be honest, this is still Philly's division.
Mm-hmm.
So for Washington to make some noise, Eckler will be solid. But then again, was it the system or was it him that was putting up all these points?
Mm-hmm.
We have to honestly say that. I mean, no inside joke around, like I say.
Yeah.
If you listen to an episode way back when, you understand the joke.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just put it that way. But in all seriousness, though, I don't know if this move is going to be beneficial. But, hey, he got signed and he'll do... He is an improvement from what they had in Washington.
Yeah. Then speaking of the Philadelphia Eagles, they signed running back Saquon Barkley to a 3-year, $37.75 million contract. Tight end Albert Okwimbom signed a 1-year extension. Offensive guard Landon Dickerson agreed to a 4-year, $84 million extension. Edge Brandon Graham agreed to a 1-year extension. Edge Bryce Huff signed a 3-year contract. Linebacker Julian Okwara signed a free agent contract. Left safety Rick Lovato agreed to terms on a 2-year extension. And then punter Brandon Mann agreed to a 1-year extension.
Saquon is mad.
Oh, yeah,
Saquon is really, really mad.
And Tiki ain't helping matters. And I mean Tiki Barber.
The online feud between Saquon Barkley and Tiki Barber is heating up. And
it's got New York Backpage written all over it.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be making headlines in the Post and the news. I mean, Saquon Barkley, obviously longtime running back for the New York Giants, was really supposed to be the catalyst for turning stuff around. Never really found his groove until, I mean, let's be honest, Brian Daboll came down there and really developed him into an elite running back, in my opinion, for the pro level. He did go to Penn State. We do know that. So there are some ties to go back to Philly. But with the drama that ensued last year.
Good Lord.
With giving all the money to Daniel Jones.
They shot themselves in the foot on this one.
They absolutely dropped the ball with him. They completely did. Him going to Philly says volumes.
You let the one offensive weapon you had in your system, and sorry, is what it is. You know, for as lacking in production as Giants fans might think he was arguably the best weapon they had on that offense. And you turn around and you gave whatever that contract was to that offensive tackle, and then you gave the $80 million over however many years to Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about, and there's rumblings that like they wanted to go out and look for a guy, a replacement, and to bench Daniel Jones. You're going to bench Daniel Jones who's making $80 million? Tell me you fucked up.
That's the whole thing. I think, unfortunately, Joe Sheehan's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I question a lot with the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're trying to make some moves, but the Daniel Jones one, honestly,
we've said from day one he's not the guy.
He's not the guy. I'm sorry. This happens with the Mitchell Trubisky's and the Sam Darnolds.
I had this conversation with somebody the other day where they asked me, "Oh, do you think Daniel Jones is a good quarterback?" I said, "No. He's decent. He's serviceable. He'll get the job done for you, but don't expect greatness. Don't expect him to lead you to the promised land." I said, I told him, He went to college at Duke. Duke is known for decent to great basketball players. You know something they're not known for? Great football players.
Mm-hmm.
Because the depth of talent in the ACC in football is not that deep.
Agreed.
So when you look at his college numbers, yeah, they're going to look sexy. But that's like putting me up in a baseball game against peewee kids. Yeah, I'm going to look like Hank Aaron in his prime. you know, and just mashing home runs left, right, and center and going 10 for 10 with 7 home runs and 3 triples.
If you get less than that, I will never let you live that down.
No, I know. But that's the thing is when you're better than your talent, yeah, you're going to look better. But then once he got to the NFL, all of a sudden the talent level was at his level and higher.
Yeah.
And that happens with all the sports, no matter what sport you look at. The good ones and the great players see that, adjust to it, and rise and take their game up to the next level and elevate their game. What the fuck is Daniel Jones to elevate his game or shown you he's elevated his game?
That's the problem. And I can understand Giants fans are probably screaming, well, he never got an offensive line. That's been the case since Eli was playing.
Uh-huh.
The Giants, for whatever reason, don't address this, or when they do, they misfire somehow, some way. I'll admit, they've had some picks that I thought should have panned out.
Sure.
Didn't.
That's just the way the NFL works.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that they're cursed about this for some reason. But unfortunately, at that time, I mean, I think the writing was on the wall. You needed to take care of Saquon Barkley. You didn't. He now goes to a Philly team that, honestly, this is a huge upgrade for them.
You got to figure, with all the nonsense going on with Tiki, that they're going to feed him the ball 1,000 times in that game in Philly.
Oh, that game in Philly? No, the game in New York?
No, that's true.
No, you might see a fantasy record for points in that game.
In case you're not familiar, Tiki Barber, you know, longtime Giants running back, has a radio talk show here down in the city in New York on WFAN. And he said, quote, "He's dead to us now. He's dead to us. You're dead to us, Saquon. Good luck. You're dead to me," close quote. Now, it should be noted, he's since come out after I read you what Saquon Barkley said. Oh, he said it tongue in cheek, but still, you gave bulletin board material for a matchup that doesn't need bulletin board material. Because Saquon responded, quote, and this is on Twitter, quote, "LOL, yep, you're the prime example of loyalty to a team. I got the deal I wanted, secured more guaranteed money, which wasn't given to me before. So if fans are going to hate me for that, so be it. But I never turned my back on my teammates and always had theirs," close quote.
Yeah. It's going to get very, very messy down there.
Yeah,
to say the least. But Philly did a major upgrade. About those Giants, though, one solid move. I will say they did one solid move, but everything else, eh.
The Giants moves. They signed quarterback Drew Locke to a free agent contract. They signed Devin Singletary, the running back, to a free agent contract. Offensive tackle Jermaine Illuminor signed a 2-year contract. Offensive guard John Runyon signed a free agent contract. And then edge Brian Burns, who was acquired from the Panthers in exchange for a 2024 second and fifth round picks. Also, Burns has agreed to a new 5-year deal with the Giants worth up to $150 million with $76 million fully guaranteed at signing.
Burns is a great ad.
Yeah, I would say so.
Kind of shocking because I remember seeing, might have been a year or two ago, L.A. Tried making a play for him, the Rams.
Oh, yeah.
And offered a couple number one picks, and the Carolina did not want to do it.
Yeah.
So to see him now go to New York, I think the Giants need all the help they can get, so I do like that move. Runyon, I think, will help as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sold on it. Singletary, listen, as somebody that's seen him up in Buffalo, he's good, but he's not an every down guy.
Nope.
He's a Darren Sproles type. He can work out of the backfield, catch and run. And that's where the Giants should utilize him. The one thing is Dabble knows how to use him, so he will produce for them there.
I'm not surprised he ended up there.
Right, I'm not either. But at the same time, I don't think they address enough to keep up with everybody else in that league.
Right.
Albeit, though, there's one team that did less.
Holy shit. So then we got the Dallas Cowboys, whose one and only move this offseason, left safety Trent Sieg, re-signed a free agent contract.
I apologize to Dre Driven and all our Cowboys listeners. There's really nothing nice to say about your team's moves. Because,
what the fuck are you doing?
I mean, yeah, that's honestly.
You had a loaded running back class, and you knew you needed a running back because, hey, Pollard was a free agent.
Yeah.
Now, you know, not to spoil the lead a little bit, you're looking at your options are Cordell Patterson, Alexander Mattinson, Ezekiel Elliott, which would be the funniest shit ever.
Oh, yeah, it'd be hysterical.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Deontay Foreman, Boston Scott, Damian Harris, Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins, Matt Breida, Kareem Hunt, Rashad Penny, A.J. Dillon, Jerick McKinnon, Latavius Murray, just to name a few. But in terms of the, you know, hearing Cowboys fans from the start, they'll be going, oh, we're going to get Josh Jacobs. whoopsies in Green Bay. Oh, we're going to get Saquon. Saquon's going to come to Dallas. You want to be in Jerry World. Well, weird. He's in Philly. DeAndre Swift. We're going to get DeAndre Swift. Whoops, he's in the Windy City.
Yeah.
You know, oh, Derrick Henry, save us, Derrick Henry. You're our only hope. Well, he's somewhere, not Dallas. We'll get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, what about Austin Eckler? Austin Eckler's still available. Hey, he's in Washington.
Yeah.
So all the guys they really wanted, all the big-name top free agent running backs, gone.
It's insane to think about, but the Cowboys really took a step back.
Yeah, they did.
So they're going to need to find some luck in the draft.
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, there wasn't a real big name that was jumping out to me, but they're going to need to make some moves.
Yeah.
So good luck, Cowboys fans.
Uh-huh. Then we switch over to the AFC and the AFC West, to be specific. You had the Los Angeles Chargers. They signed running back Gus Edwards to a 2-year contract, tight end Will Disley to a 3-year contract, and then safety Alohi Gilman re-signed on a 2-year contract.
Well, I mean, Gus Edwards is going to help them out.
Trading one Harbaugh brother for the other.
Yeah.
Going from Baltimore to the Chargers.
Like I say, Chargers are going to be very well stocked on offense.
Uh-huh.
So I think this move makes a lot of sense.
Then for the Las Vegas Raiders, they signed Gardner Minshew to a 2-year contract, $25 million deal. So Minshew Mania going to be running wild in Vegas.
Love it.
Running back Amir Abdullah re-signed with the Raiders. Center Andre James re-signed on a 3-year contract. And then defensive lineman Christian Wilkins signed a 4-year, $110 million contract.
Big addition for the Raiders.
That is a real good addition.
That is something Antonio Pierce is building, that monster out in Vegas.
He might not have the best quarterback in that division
yet,
but damn it, that defense is the scariest.
They are really going to put a hurting on Kansas City when they play. And I think if you're a Raiders fan, you got to be excited about it. Minshew is not the best option right now.
He's a good bridge.
But this is screaming they're going to go get a guy in the draft.
I now understand what he meant by they're going to employ the Detroit Piston Michael Jordan rules.
Yeah.
Or the New York Giants Tom Brady rules.
Well, that's what they should be doing in the first place. I mean, that's the whole thing about it. The Raiders want to be the big bullies of the NFL. Mm-hmm. That's the identity. Just win, baby. And like I say, they're the Outlaws for a reason.
Yeah.
So with Kansas City being Kansas City and the Raiders have the blueprint about how to beat them, all they're missing is, honestly, a legit number one quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, O'Connell was not the guy.
Nope.
But can they go find somebody in that draft? In fact, they'll even tell you the one they should go get is J.J. McCarthy from Michigan.
I could see it.
I think he'd be perfect for the Raiders.
Screen passes all day.
But you know what? We got Davante Adams, and like I say, the weapons that they have a solid team, but that defense, that's what they're building up first, and that's all they need to focus on, to be honest with you. When you have one of the best wide receivers in the league, you don't need a lot per se around him.
That's true.
You just need consistent quarterback play. Minshew will give you that. He'll be steady.
There'll be some spells and moments during games where it's like, fuck, he's running with the wheels falling off.
Oh, sure.
But
I think if he's the gateway to get to a J.J. McCarthy or somebody on that level, by all means, got to go for it.
Then the Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning, defending, undisputed Super Bowl champs, signed tight end Irv Smith to a 1-year deal. Re-signed defensive lineman Chris Jones to a 5-year, $158.75 million contract.
They had to do that.
Uh-huh. Linebacker Drew Tranquil re-signed a 3-year, $19 million contract. Cornerback Legarius Sneed received the non-exclusive franchise tag. And then punter Matt Araizia signed a deal for the league minimum.
Well, Jones is the big one that they had to go sign.
Uh-huh.
So I understand that. Smart move by them. Obviously, your best defender, you need to lock him up. And they did for, you know, finally, the long term.
Yep.
You can say what you want about that first game against Detroit. I don't care about that. Detroit was going to win that game anyway.
Right.
The Chiefs needed to lock him up. They did. Sneed is an interesting player to watch for them.
Uh-huh.
I still don't think he winds up playing there on opening day.
No.
And I think for Kansas City, we just now have to see, with your star players getting paid, how hungry are they going to be to get back? And especially now, where you have the Chargers upgrading on their coaching position, which has been their Achilles heel for however many years.
Yeah.
Denver, well, Denver's a non-factor, let's be honest. It's the truth, folks. Deal with it. And the Raiders vastly improved, and they're a team that beat you last year. They can do it again, and they're only getting meaner and nastier.
Yep.
Love this. But Like I say, I'm a little biased about it because, you know, I'm not exactly a Chiefs fan. I do acknowledge them, but I will say this. You have to wonder, with the success that they've had, start hearing the word dynasty and all that nonsense around it,
mm-hmm.
are they willing to sacrifice enough as a team to get back? I don't know. Well, I mean, we'll talk about it as we see the season progress, but I'm saying right now I think that the other teams in that division upgraded a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe the exception of the Broncos, but we'll talk about their moves now.
Yeah, so the Denver Broncos re-signed a fullback, Michael Burton, on a one-year deal. Defensive lineman Malcolm Roach signed a two-year deal. Safety Brandon Jones signed a three-year deal. Safety P.J. Locke re-signed a two-year deal. And then kicker Will Lutz re-signed in Denver after initially planning to sign with the Jaguars.
When the kicker is the biggest name of the signings, that says it all.
Yep.
Thanks for playing.
Then we get to the AFC South, and we're going to start with the Tennessee Titans. They signed running back Tony Pollard to a three-year contract. Center Lloyd Cushenberry signed a four-year contract. Linebacker Kenneth Murray signed a two-year contract. Cornerback Chidobe Awuzie signed a three-year contract. And then left safety Morgan Cox agreed to terms on a one-year deal.
Tennessee is just steady.
Yeah.
So Pollard going there makes sense.
Yeah.
As weird as it might sound, makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Other than that, still in the rebuilding phase.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait to see how they show up. I mean, obviously without Vrabel there, I don't know how they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So
Then we get to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who traded for quarterback Mac Jones from the Patriots in exchange for a 2024 sixth-round pick. They signed wide receiver Gabe Davis to a three-year, $39 million contract. Has a max value of $50 million.
Oh, I have comments ready.
I figured you did. Offensive lineman Blake Hance signed an extension. Offensive guard Ezra Cleveland signed a three-year deal. Then center Mitch Morse agreed to a two-year deal. Edge Josh Allen. No, not that Josh Allen. The defensive Josh Allen. Received the non-exclusive franchise tag. And then safety Darnell Savage signed a three-year deal.
Okay. Would you like to go first about Mac?
I mean, yeah, sure. Listen, I was not surprised in any way, shape, or form that he was traded away. That had been the rumor for a while, that he was going to get traded. It was just a matter of who and where. You know, the fact, am I surprised that they only got a six-round pick for him? No. I mean, listen, whatever good karma or good mojo he had built up in his rookie season was destroyed in the following two seasons. Now, I will forgive him the sophomore season because you had a formerly defensive coordinator and a formerly special teams coordinator calling your offensive plays that season.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't Madden. You can't have one person call it all,
right?
And win the Super Bowl. So I'm willing to forgive him for that season because that was just a shitty situation.
Mm-hmm.
The telling thing for me, though, was when he was terrible and when it wasn't necessarily going to work out, I just hadn't accepted it yet, was last season when you brought in Bill O'Brien, who had pretty good success when he was offensive coordinator there previously with the Patriots, you know, and had some pretty good offenses everywhere else he went, and when it just didn't work, you know, and when he got benched for Bailey Zapp, who, mind you, the Patriots cut during training camp. And right before the end, and then they re-signed him after training camp was over in that like week period or whatever it was between training camp and the start of the regular season.
Mm.
You know, so now I know there's been a lot of talk online of, oh, the Patriots system completely failed him. To a degree, yes, because you didn't give him the necessary tools, and I'm talking coaching-wise, to help develop him and help him grow as a player. I will give you that. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, Bill is a great coach, but he can't do it all. He can't be in the quarterback room, and he can't be working with the defenses, and he can't do X, Y, and Z. And that's why you have all of these coaches for all of these positions in these areas of the team. That's why there's a linebackers coach. There's a defensive lineman's coach. There's a quarterback's coach. There's a running back coach. There's a wide receiver's coach. Like, they work with these areas specifically. So in a sense, yes, they did. But it's also on him that he didn't get better.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great rookie season, and maybe that just came down to, hey, nobody really had tape on the guy, and nobody figured it out until the offseason after that, and then he got picked off and picked apart like a surgeon.
Yeah.
You know, I wish, I have no ill will towards the kid. I have no bad feelings towards him. I wish him well. Do I think he's going to could contend for Trevor Lawrence as a starter down there in Jacksonville? Fuck no. He's the guy that he's going to be the backup in case, God forbid, something happens to Trevor Lawrence down there and he can step in. You know, it's a guy who's at least shown he can play at the NFL level. Not great, but he can play at the NFL level. And you don't have to sit there and go, fuck, we got to go with this guy who's a seventh round draft pick out of insert random no-name D3 college that nobody's ever freaking heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And we've at least got a guy who's shown some flashes of brilliance. I did love the one person, though, who you and I know came up to me yesterday and asked if I was now a Jacksonville Jaguars fan.
Yeah.
So this is a fact. Somebody came up to me, and I can say this because I know they don't listen to this show. They asked me, oh, so are you going to be a Jacksonville Jaguars fan now? And I looked at him and I went, no. I said, I stuck with this team from the 2000s through, now the thing is, folks, for those of you who don't know, we're in the heart of Giants and Bills country here. Sorry, Jets fans, but there aren't many of you.
This is true.
You know, but we're in the heart of Giants in Bills country here in upstate New York, where I hear it every year from fucking Bills fans. And I heard it for a fucking calendar year twice, and I still hear it to this day from Giants fans. Yeah, and there's a small contingent of Eagles fans. There's not many, but there's a few.
They're growing.
They're growing. And I sure as shit hear it from them. Didn't jump off the train then. I ain't jumping off now. So, I mean, good luck to him. You know, I hope he has better success there than he did with us. On to better things.
Fair points.
Yeah.
I'm not disputing it. And I laughed. I have to laugh at the comments that Pat was going to jump ship. I mean, he stuck with him, folks.
I didn't jump ship when Brady left. Why the fuck would I jump ship when Mac left?
Like I say, it was a great question. It was, like I say, I know he was not the only person that asked about that. That's we had to address it like that.
I do for him like I did for Brady when he left. I root for him. I hope they do well. But am I going to go out and buy a Mac Jones Jacksonville Jaguars jersey? No. God, no.
Unless the Patreon covers that, then we might.
Maybe.
No, but in all honesty, I mean, Jacksonville did not really do a lot of, I mean, they did moves, but it wasn't anything really crazy. I'm sorry, Gabe Davis.
Ooh, they love overpaying wide receivers.
Yes, they do. This is something that Jacksonville is notorious for. So Gabe Davis got his money. I'm not mad at him about that. But if Jacksonville thinks they got an elite number one, unfortunately, no. He is a speedster. He can run decent routes, but he's not somebody that takes over games. I mean, honestly, his claim to fame is the playoff game against Kansas City a couple of years ago.
And this is the exact same conversation I had with a buddy of mine who is a Kansas City fan, because I was talking to him last night, and he was hoping that he would end up in Kansas City. And I go, why? He goes, oh, because he's a good receiver. I'm like, yeah, he's a good receiver, but he's not worth the money Jacksonville's paying him. And he goes, oh, what do you mean? I go, well, listen, his one claim to fame, as you alluded to, was the one playoff game against Kansas City where everyone anointed him the next great coming.
Yeah.
You look at his numbers last year. He played in 17 games, had 45 catches, 746 receiving yards, and 7 touchdowns. And since there are some numbers there for rushing, he had one rushing attempt for -2 yards and no touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a number for a guy that says, oh, he's worth $39 million that has a max value of $50 million.
Yeah.
No.
No, unfortunately not. I mean, he is a solid number two.
Yeah.
But that is a lot of money to give a number two.
Uh-huh.
It, just being honest, Davis can show up and show flashes of brilliance, but you also had Josh Allen, who is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Whoever you're going to get in Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, the jury is still out.
Yep.
And Mac Jones, the jury is still debating.
Yeah.
I don't see how he upgrades.
Nope.
I really don't. Between him and Christian Kirk. I don't, like, they're the same player, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, they're both number twos. I mean, they're not number ones.
No.
So you have to kind of keep that in perspective.
No.
So looking at the other moves they did, I mean, Morris is a good move for them for center.
Sure.
I hated seeing him leave Buffalo, but it was a cap casualty.
Oh, yeah.
So he'll be solid for the line down there. I would love to see Josh Allen from Jacksonville wind up somewhere else. I think he's been doing all he can on that defense.
Yeah.
I think if some team is on the cusp of really making a breakthrough, I'd make the deal to go get him. I mean,
maybe Baltimore? Maybe Houston?
Baltimore would be a great landing spot for him. Houston would be. I'd honestly love to see him with the Raiders. I think that that is just one missing component because he's so multi-versatile. He can go anywhere on that field.
Yeah.
He's somebody that, honestly, I think in Jacksonville, he just doesn't have enough help on him on defense. So it is kind of a catch-22 about where he could wind up.
That's true.
Unless Jacksonville is going to go get some more parts around him. But, I mean, they also play in the South, which is not a real crazy division right now, the AFC South, that is.
No.
I mean, you have Tennessee, who you don't know what you're going to get now with a new coaching staff. The Colts, which, let's face it, are in rebuilding mode.
Yep.
And then Houston, who's the belle of the ball right now.
Yeah, they are. Speaking of the Indianapolis Colts, they agreed to a three-year, $70 million deal with a max value of $71.5 million, $46 million of a guaranteed to wide receiver Michael Pittman. Edge Tyquan Lewis re-signed on a free agent deal. Defensive tackle Grover Stewart re-signed on a three-year deal. Linebacker Zaire Franklin signed a three-year deal, or excuse me, three-year extension. Cornerback Kenny Moore II re-signed on a three-year deal. And punter Rigoberto Sanchez is finalizing a deal to remain with the Colts. So again, much like Detroit, gotta say, I it's not the sexiest moves for Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I do like seeing all their guys, you know, extension, re-signed, re-signed, extension, re-signed, re-signed. They're buying in. I dig it.
Well, that's the thing with the Colts. I mean, they were bad luck away from actually making a run last year.
And putting up a legit banner for once.
Well, let's talk about it because obviously if Anthony Richardson did not get hurt early in the season.
Yes.
It would have been a whole different ball game, honestly, with him in Houston.
One of the biggest what-ifs in Indianapolis history.
Absolutely. So now we have to see what he does in year two.
Yeah.
But last year, they were really the talk of the league for a couple weeks. And then once Richardson went down, everything fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a horrible situation there. If he can bounce back, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And I think enough players are buying into that hope that at least one more year is not going to hurt them.
No.
And especially Pittman. Pittman's getting a lot of money. I don't know necessarily if I agree with that deal.
It's a lot of money. He's good.
He's good, but
that's
a lot for potential. That's a lot for potential.
Pull up his stats here while we're talking. I know he's a good receiver, but I just offhand don't know his stats.
Well, the thing, too, is once Richardson went down, what quarterback play did they have?
Right.
I mean, these are situations you got to look at, especially when you're talking about re-signing players to long-term.
Okay, now those are some fairly goddamn good stats. Receiving last year in 16 games, he had 109 catches for 1,152 yards, four touchdowns, and then rushing, he did not make any rushing attempts. But, yeah, no, okay, I can kind of understand it because he had 1,152 last year, 925 the year prior. In 2021, he had 1,082. And then in 2020, his rookie year, he had 503. So in 4 years in the NFL, he has put up just over 3,600 yards receiving.
Like I say, potential.
I agree with you there.
Yeah, so the Colts did what they had to do there.
And then the Houston Texans signed running back Joe Mixon. They traded for running back Joe Mixon from the Cincinnati Bengals. They re-signed tight end Dalton Schultz to a three-year contract. They signed defensive lineman Denico Autry to a two-year contract. They signed linebacker Aziz Al-Shaair to a three-year contract. Cornerback Mike Ford signed a two-year deal. Cornerback Lonnie Johnson signed a one-year contract. Desmond King II, the cornerback, re-signed with the team. Cornerback Jeff Okuda signed a one-year deal. Safety Eric Murray re-signed with the team. And then kicker Kaimi Fairbairn re-signed on a three-year deal. So clearly Houston loves cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Four of them.
Oh, yeah, they loaded up on defense. I mean, that's the one thing that was really holding them back last season.
Yeah.
Adding Mixon to the running back position, that's huge.
Yeah.
He'll do very well for them down there. I think everything that Houston did really screams that they're ready to win now. So,
yeah.
You know what? I love the moves they did.
Yeah. Then we get to the AFC North, and we get to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not a whole lot of moves, but hey, you know what? Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker Patrick Queen agreed to a three-year deal.
Shocked at this.
Yeah.
Absolutely shocked. Baltimore fans are losing their mind right now, and rightfully so. Did not see this happening.
And then quarterback Russell Wilson plans to sign with the Steelers when the new league year begins. Reportedly a one-year, just over $1 million deal.
great landing spot for him, to be
absolutely
honest.
Absolutely. Great receivers, great running back game they got there. The defense is also solid. For Pittsburgh, I know the reports were they were not really interested in bringing Russell in, and then things kind of changed. I think, and this is not an original opinion, if you've listened to sports talk radio, sports podcasts, or sports TV, you've probably heard this in the last couple days. It's low risk, high reward for Pittsburgh because, let's face it, you're paying him $1 million because he's already getting 37 or 38
right.
million from Denver. So he doesn't need a shit ton of money. He's already getting a shit ton of money. And it's a one-year deal. You know, so he comes in there. If he has a great year, you can re-sign him. If he doesn't, well, hey, thanks for showing up.
Exactly. And the one thing he wants to do is be an immediate starter.
Also, he's guaranteed to break his losing season streak he's got going. He's got like three consecutive losing seasons.
Well, you have to think about it. He's been in Denver, which, I mean, what did they have there? Let's be honest about that.
Jerry Jeudy, although I don't believe he's that guy.
No, he's not. And?
That's about it.
Exactly. Russell pulled magic off in Seattle, but at least they tried getting him some help.
He's either about to have one of the greatest comebacks in NFL history, or Sean Payton's about to prove right again and that he's done.
Well, that's a little question mark you have to have with Russell now. And I think that this might be a little bit of a humbling for him.
Uh-huh.
So if he's going to salvage his career, this is going to be the place to do it. If he flunks out, like you alluded to, Sean Payton's going to be the smartest guy in the room.
And this is also a franchise and a fan base that will not put up with any shit.
Mm-hmm. No, Steelers are going to be a lot different. And trust me, they're not going to be yelling, "Let's ride."
Then we get to the Cleveland Browns, who acquired wide receiver Jerry Jeudy from the Denver Broncos in exchange for a 5th and 6th round picks this year. Of course, the trade does not become official until the league year begins tomorrow. They re-signed offensive guard Michael Dunn on a free agent deal, and then edge Za'Darius Smith re-signed on a 2-year, $23.5 million deal, has a max value of $25 million.
I'll admit, I the Jeudy move puzzles me a little bit. I mean, granted, it's low draft picks, so it doesn't really break the bank, so to speak. I just don't get the need.
Right.
But, I mean, you got to do something there.
The other one, too, because I remembered it's not on the list. The Cleveland Browns also agreed to a 1-year contract with Jameis Winston.
Well, that will be interesting to see how he meshes.
Controversy in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Who's going to start?
I mean, that's a great point. I mean, you have the original 40 and 40. So, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's going to be interesting with him now there with Deshaun and what they have.
Maybe we could solve this early tease for later in the show. Maybe we could solve this at SummerSlam.
I mean, maybe this could be a situation.
Hell in a Cell, Deshaun Watson versus Jameis Winston.
I'm surprised they did not sign Flacco for another year.
Boy, I am too.
That was the only thing that threw me for a loop with this one. But yeah, Winston with Watson. Wait and see, ..
Then for the Cincinnati Bengals, they agreed to a 2-year contract with running back Zach Moss. Wide receiver T. Higgins received the non-exclusive franchise tag. Tight end Mike Gesicki signed a 1-year deal. Tight end Drew Sample re-signed on a 3-year contract. Offensive guard Cody Ford re-signed on a 1-year deal. And then safety Geno Stone signed a 2-year, $15 million deal.
I actually really love the moves the Bengals did.
Yeah, I do too. They're
like,
not bad.
Like the thing, Zach Moss, originally I was hearing some noise that he was penned for Dallas, but he did not want to back away from the $4 million a year.
I think at this point every running back has been penned going to Dallas.
Yeah, but I think I remember seeing that on a couple different news sites.
I could see it.
Like legit ones.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the holdup.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I'll just put the allegedly, you know, because for lawsuit reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But T. Higgins getting the franchise tag.
He, in the non-exclusive, he is not going to be there come training camp.
No, I think he'll get moved somewhere.
And I'll look it up. If memory serves, Ja'Marr Chase, I believe, is going to be a free agent next year.
Oh, yeah. He's going to get moved because they have to clear out that cap money. And honestly, that's a smart move. That's a really smart move to do.
Yeah,
so
Ja'Marr Chase is along with a holy shit, they got a lot of free agents next year.
Yeah, this is their year. If they're gonna do it, they have to win the Super Bowl this year. They're not gonna do it next year. I'm sorry, Bengals fans, I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Higgins will get moved. He will get a nice deal to go. Carolina could be a landing spot for him. I'll tell you what, as weird as this sounds, I don't doubt him going to Houston.
Yeah.
And you pair him with C.J. Stroud?
I mean, I'd love him up in New England, but I don't see it.
Yeah, same thing. I'd love him in Buffalo, but that would...
Because the thing... Now, if it was a simple, you know, money thing or whatever. Like, I could see it, but there's a lot going on. I just don't see it.
There's a lot happening there, so I could see. I think they got the diamond in the rough, though, with Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah.
The fact he's there, oh my God, Joe Burrow has
solid tight end.
Yeah.
Not great, solid.
Solid, reliable. He runs great routes. Like, this is,
doesn't mean gritty.
Yeah, like I say, he is perfect for up there, so I love that move.
And then for the Baltimore Ravens, they agreed to a 2-year contract with running back Derrick Henry.
Makes sense.
Wide receiver Nelson Agholor signed a 1-year extension, and defensive lineman Justin Madubuike re-signed on a 4-year, $98 million contract that includes $75.5 million guaranteed.
All their moves make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, Derrick Henry, we...
It's the one call we made right.
Yeah, that's the one that I think we knew coming into the league. Like, this offseason was going to be, like, the lock. Henry was going to wind up there. And it makes sense for his running style. He's not going to get asked to carry the whole workload with Lamar up there. So, love the move. Love, absolutely love the move.
And then, certainly not leastly, we get to the AFC East. And for the New York Jets, they agreed to a 2-year deal with quarterback Tyrod Taylor. They signed offensive lineman John Simpson to a 2-year deal. Cornerback Isaiah Oliver signed a 1-year deal. And then kicker Greg Zuerlein re-signed on a 2-year deal.
I mean, it's the Jets.
They might have a somewhat decent backup now.
Yeah, but it's the Jets.
Yeah.
Like I say, I mean, none of the moves are really wow. Tyrod is solid as a backup. But other than that, I mean, I don't think they addressed a lot.
They have a lot of issues.
Yes.
Then for the Miami Dolphins, they re-signed offensive lineman Robert Jones. Tight end Jonnu Smith signed a 2-year deal. Center Aaron Brewer signed a 3-year contract. Edge Shaq Barrett agreed to a 1-year contract. Linebacker Jordan Brooks signed a 3-year contract. Linebacker Anthony Walker agreed to a 1-year deal. And cornerback Nick Needham re-signed on a free agent deal.
Miami's greatest story on this free agency period is the amount of talent they lost. I think that they got hit the worst. Mm-hmm. Wilkins being the first and foremost.
Yeah.
I think Miami is going to be struggling more than people want to give them credit for next year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how they addressed any needs. I mean,
they addressed a little bit of defense.
A little bit, but not enough.
Not enough.
Not enough. Like when you talk about like the litmus test or the eye test,
yeah,
it's just not even up.
Then we get to the New England Patriots, and boy, sit with me because there's a lot of moves here. Quarterback Jacoby Brissett agreed to terms on a 1-year deal. Quarterback Nathan Rourke re-signed with the Patriots. I'll be honest, I didn't even know he was with the team before. Running back Antonio Gibson signed a 3-year deal. Wide receiver Kendrick Bourne re-signed on a 3-year deal. Wide receiver Jalen Reagor re-signed on a 1-year deal. Tight end Hunter Henry signed a 3-year deal. Offensive lineman Tyrone Wheatley Jr. re-signed with the team. Offensive tackle Chukwuma Okorafor signed a free agent deal. Offensive tackle Mike Onwenu re-signed on a 3-year deal. Edge Josh Uche re-signed on a 1-year deal. Linebacker Christian Ellis re-signed with the team. Linebacker Sion Takitaki, legitimately, T-A-K-I, Takitaki, signed a 2-year deal. And then safety Kyle Duggar received the transition tag, which will pay him $13.8 million for the 2024 season. So, obviously with Mac Jones gone, I'm willing to bet Bailey Zappi's going to be next out the door.
Mm-hmm.
They had to find a starter because all signs are now pointing to the Patriots taking a quarterback with the number 3 overall pick in the draft. Much as I would love Marvin Harrison Jr., doesn't look like it's going to play out that way, even if he's even there by that point. So obviously they needed to sign somebody. I sure had my list of folks I would have hopefully, maybe this person, maybe that person. But once the names started getting checked off the list and they announced last night it was going to be Jacoby Brissett, I'm like, all right. That's not the worst. You know, it's not the best, but he's been with the team. He's familiar with the system because I can't imagine the system will change all that much from last year to this year. We'll see. You know, so as a transition guy to fill in and let the rookie sit behind and learn the system and kind of soak everything up makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, I think that obviously with the new regime in place, they're just going to start over. And I was expecting the Patriots to do the biggest cuts of all.
Yeah.
Just because it's a new era. The post-Belichick time is now.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of these moves make a lot of sense.
Nathan Rourke, again, didn't even know he was with the team. Kendrick Bourne, happy to see him back. He's had some great years up there in New England. Jalen Reagor, is what it is.
Yeah.
Not that much money, so not the big. Love to see Hunter Henry back. He's been great for them. Josh Uche, great. Glad he's back with the team. He did some great work. Listen, offensive linemen and offensive tackles, fucking Christ, we'll take them.
Mm-hmm.
That offensive line was garbage last year, so we'll definitely take that. And then for Antonio Gibson, you know what? Not bad. We've got Ramondre Stevenson there, so he'll be a nice compliment to go along with Antonio Gibson there. We'll have a nice 1-2 punch going up there, so we'll see what he can bring. You know, so a lot of good moves, interesting moves. We'll see where it plays out. I'm not expecting a deep playoff run or a Super Bowl win by any means, but maybe they'll contend.
It's a rebuilding year. Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing you got to face with it.
Yeah. And then for the Buffalo Bills, they signed the Maserati.
Yes.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Greatest move of the offseason.
To a 2-year contract. Offensive tackle Deion Dawkins agreed to a 3-year, $60.5 million extension. Offensive guard David Edwards agreed to a 2-year extension. Edge A.J. Epenza re-signed on a 2-year deal. Defensive tackle Daquan Jones re-signed on a 2-year deal. Linebacker Nicholas Morrow agreed to terms on a 1-year deal. Cornerback Cam Lewis re-signed on a 2-year deal. And safety Taylor Rapp re-signed to a 3-year contract.
So let's break this down. Obviously, the Bills were facing a cap hit of being over $40 million, I believe.
Uh-huh.
So they did do a lot of releases. Mitch Morse, who signed with Jacksonville, their starting center for many years, was gone. Oh,
good Lord. I got a list of departures here. Kyle Allen, Damian Harris, Latavius Murray, Gabe Davis, Deontay Hardy, Trent Sherfield, Ryan Bates, Mitch Morse, Leonard Floyd, Shaq Lawson, Puna Ford, Linville Joseph, Jordan Phillips, Tim Settle, Tyrell Dodson, Dane Jackson, Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, and Jordan Poyer.
Yeah.
Oof.
No, they had to clear out a lot.
Fuck.
But a lot of those players, here's the one thing. A lot of those players had injury history.
That is true.
So I hate saying this, but there was a long stretch of time where some of those players had not been on the field.
Sure.
Tre'Davious White is one that hurts me a lot because when he's on, he's on.
It's always been solid, yeah.
But unfortunately, the last couple of years, he's had knee injuries.
Right.
And significant ones. Jordan Poirier, rather, he was 1 foot out the door last year.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact he came back, I was shocked. I'm not super surprised that he was a casualty cut. So, I mean, obviously he wants to test the free agent market, go right ahead.
Sure.
Micah Hyde, we knew was going to be a free agent. He's had some neck injuries.
Right.
I mean, he's on. When he's on, he's on. But it's just unfortunately that they had to make some moves to get under the cap. A lot of the players, though, did restructuring.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen converted a lot of his contract to a signing bonus.
For like the third or fourth year in a row?
Right. But
something like that?
But here's the deal. He understands the assignment because
yeah. –
If you're going to be a quarterback that gets signed a $100 million deal,
mm-hmm.
you're going to do either one of two things to your team. You're either going to have to win now, or you're going to have to restructure and get the best team you can every year.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are doing that because otherwise you have the situation that happened with Russell Wilson for eons in Seattle.
Yeah.
Where you can have this great quarterback leading your team, but they're not going to have any pieces around them unless they're draft picks. And then you have to hope that they develop super fast. If they don't, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for everybody that the Bills lost that they had to let go,
right?
It's bad, yeah, but it's not irreplaceable.
Right, it's not like you're losing every single starter from the previous year.
Right. They still have most of their offense coming back.
Yep.
And even Stephon Diggs, who and everybody's saying, oh, he's going to go to Dallas, he's leaving. I'm going to reiterate this again. In case we have new listeners, first and foremost, thank you for checking us out. Leave us a review on your favorite podcatcher. Stephon Diggs' contract is like the poison contracts in the NBA. The Bills can't move him. And that was the whole deal about keeping him there.
Stephon Diggs is in year three of a 4-year, $96 million contract. Although the contract does go, there's a potential out after this upcoming year.
Right.
But, if whatever that is doesn't kick in, he does play through he is on under contract for the 25, 26 and 27 season.
Exactly.
Some of the notes on the contract, $47.985 million is guaranteed at signing. That is the signing bonus plus his salary in 22, 23, and the 23 option bonus. There's a 2023 option bonus, which is $16 million. Guaranteed must be exercised between March 15th of last year through March 21st of last year. The 2024 salary is fully guarantees through on March 17th of this year, so that's in about 5 days from now. $3.515 million of his 20th salary next year fully guarantees the first league day of next year. His 2027 roster bonus is $3 million, and he has a per-game active bonus of $15,000.
Yeah. So for them to move him, it would take a lot.
Heaven, hell, and earth.
Well, that's the whole thing. But they knew that running into that contract. Like, that was a big sticking point when they got him from Minnesota. They asked Diggs what he wants to do, and he wants to retire as a Bill. That's what he said. I understand the past couple seasons there's been some drama.
It's been a little contentious.
But once again, I ask you, name me one number one wide receiver in the league that doesn't have an ego with them.
Jefferson?
A little bit.
Although if he does, we don't hear about it that much.
Right. Other than that, I'm waiting.
I'm trying to think. Even Jamar's got a little bit of one, the whole 7-Eleven thing.
Right. That's my whole point.
Yeah.
Like I say, I'm not forcing this on you, but
I'm trying to think.
But I'm illustrating this. You name me a number one wide receiver that doesn't have an ego of some certain degree. And the thing is, Diggs wants the ball every single play because he's a competitor. I understand that. It's not going to happen in Buffalo, and he's obviously had the greatest success of his career in Buffalo. Where are you going to move him? Dallas?
Yeah.
He's got to compete with CeeDee Lamb.
Good luck.
I mean, in Buffalo, he's the big fish of the wide receiver core.
Yeah.
Shakir is still there. Solid number two, better as a three, to be honest with you.
But Diggs knows he ain't going to surpass him.
Right. So for him, they just want to win and win now, and they've been on the cusp.
Yeah,
so many times, but it's due to bad coaching. I've said this before. I'll say it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's been due to bad coaching and bad injuries that happened at the worst possible time. The Bills just can't get over that hump. They're still a team to watch out for. Are they elite? Depends on what day it is.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
That's true.
But the one thing that they've done and a lot of these players did to stay there is they restructured to stay and give cap relief.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they're committed to McDermott and the powers that be up there. That's a good sign. Is it enough to get them to the Super Bowl? Time is going to tell, but I think after how last year started and to where it finished, I mean,
you can't do that every year.
Right, and that's going to be the thing they're going to need to work on, especially with a defense that I don't doubt that one of those players that we mentioned comes back.
Yeah, could be.
Because I don't know how big of a market there is for some players with injury history. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait to see how it happens. But if there's one thing that the Bills do right, they've locked up a lot of their core talent for a couple seasons.
Yeah.
They're in win-now mode. Are they going to need to upgrade a little bit at the safety position? Sure, but Rapp's still re-signing.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Rasul Douglas, he's back.
Yeah.
They have the players on that side of the ball. It's just injuries happen. That's going to be their downfall. But
you got to improve. You got to get better, and you got to be smart about it. You don't know if Miami's going to have a similar year where they start off hot and fall apart at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're going to get out of the Jets because you got to figure Rodgers is going to last more than four plays next year. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you've got the rest of the AFC improving.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's their window, unfortunately, I think, was shut when they didn't cash it in Kansas City a couple years ago.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It's tough, but it's tough to get back there. But the fact they've made the playoffs by hook or by crook, they're there, but next season obviously is going to mean a lot. And with the moves they've done, I mean, it sounds like the players want to buy in, and that's a good sign.
And you can't take any wins against any opponent for granted. I mean, mm-hmm. Christ, we split the series against you guys at last season.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the whole point. Like, there's games the Bills should have won outright that they didn't.
Yeah.
So they'll have to improve on that. But I think for what they did in this offseason, I like the moves. I'm not in love with losing some players, but it's the nature of the beast.
It's the business side of things.
Right, but if you really look at the fine print, a lot of those guys have been gone for multiple games.
Right.
And we still got to the playoffs without it. So if you're a Bills fan, you got to at least look at it through that perspective. Otherwise, I mean, you can say the sky is falling, but then I recommend jumping on another team or jumping into the pit. Do your due diligence, whatever it takes. We talked a lot, nonstop, commercial-free, for this segment, and we definitely want to interact with you. Hit us up on that hashtag ODPHpod. What is your thoughts about the free agency early days of the NFL season going into, obviously, the NFL draft? A lot of moves have happened. We gave you our takes. We want to hear yours. Hit us up. Let us know. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you like comic books?
What about movies and TV shows?
Well, we may be the show for you.
We're Hops Geek News, a weekly podcast that discusses comics, movies, and TV shows while featuring a beer of the week.
Every week, we chat about what we messed up on the week before, and then we dive into what we're reading and watching, as well as some news.
We then wrap it up with a geek-themed topic of the week.
You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts by searching Hops Geek News.
Cheers. Cheers.
Coming back for another segment on this edition of the ODPH podcast, and we have to talk about some WWE news.
Oh, boy.
A lot of things are shaping up heading on the road to WrestleMania, so, Pad, let's recap the week that was.
Yeah, so we are on the road to WrestleMania. We are now less than 1 month away.
Let's go.
WrestleMania 40 taking place at the Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, April 6th and 7th. Expect it to be a sold-out crowd. Would not be surprised if we see a Kelsey sighting. No, I'm not talking Travis.
I think Jason will be there.
Jason, newly retired. Hey, congratulations to you, sir. Also, congratulations, Fletcher Cox, also retiring.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that.
Could see them make a appearance for the WrestleMania. You never know.
Oh, I think Saquon Barkley is going to be there.
Oh, my God. If only. But no, a couple things we do know is there was the tease last week, or going into Friday last week, or whatever the hell it was. Or no, it was Monday into Friday, whatever the hell it was. With the Bloodline, a.k.a. The Rock and Roman Reigns, challenging Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins to a tag team match on night one of WrestleMania. And the stipulation was, if Rhodes and Rollins win, then every member of the Bloodline is barred from ringside during Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes match on night two.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind the fact you didn't see his fingers behind his back crossed.
Yes.
But if Reigns and Rock win, then the match on night two will be held under Bloodline rules, aka anything goes. So Ken, what do you think about that matchup?
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes the most sense. I mean, obviously, they're being very cautious. I know Seth has said his knee is fine.
Right.
He's getting back into ring shape
right
now, doing a couple of things at house shows.
Yep.
But this makes a lot of sense. It'll add to story. And it gives a little more intrigue to Monday night or the first night, because I think the gift and the curse with The Rock being back is you have a whole new audience watching you
that haven't watched either ever or in a long time.
Right. So you have to give them investment in watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, unfortunately, if it was going to be just him versus Roman, it might not have had the bang for the buck, so to speak.
Right.
So I think putting him in the tag match, it really elevate Cody and Seth. So if you have new viewers coming in, that does help.
Yeah.
Making it the main event night one, there's not so much pressure for him to deliver. Because obviously, if you're going to be wrestling, and especially in the main event of the biggest show of the year,
right,
you have to deliver. Now, is it to say he's not ready to go? I'm not saying that, but I'm saying he's taking enough time off to just jump back on. It's not exactly like riding a bicycle.
Right.
So I think this buys him some time that he doesn't have to do that much.
Right.
And plus it can also build into a great storyline for the next night. So I'm all in for this. The only thing that's been kind of a little crazy is they've been going over on promo time for TV.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they did last week. There was a video from Inside the Arena, which I think I don't ever get out of Dallas or Texas. They've been in Texas for like 3 weeks. But no, there was a video from SmackDown last week from the rafters, and you could see the production folks at ringside, you know, doing the hurry up, move it along thing as they were getting towards the end of the show. So work on your timing better.
Yeah. So we'll have to kind of wait to see how that plays out going, you know, in the lead up. But I think for the main event, that works for night one.
For night two, we know of two matches because one was confirmed on Monday Night Raw last night. Obviously, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes for the Undisputed Universal Championship is going to be taking place on night two. But it was announced last night on Monday Night Raw that Seth freaking Rollins is going to be defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre on night two.
And that will open the show.
That's my expectation.
Yeah, they're fully going to open that.
There's no way they're going. Because I know they called it the co-main, which, let's face it, it is. It's for one of the main belts. But they're not going to go back-to-back with these two. That Rollins-Drew is going to open.
Mm-hmm. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing about it. It's not to say the opening match is a bad thing. It sets the pace for the night.
Yeah.
And especially with Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre's storyline, it makes sense. In fact, it'll even tie into the main event because I think that, unfortunately, it will be Bloodline rules because they're going to make that as messy as possible.
Yeah.
To just have as many run-ins as they can.
Yeah.
Which is perfectly fine for what they need to do, because if you're going to end the story, so to speak, you have to.
Yep. And then two more matches got set up for a night to be determined. The first of which was for in a singles matchup for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. They had the gauntlet match on Monday Night Raw last night. And Sami Zayn emerged victorious, and he will be taking on Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania.
Okay, I'm split on this one.
Okay.
Now, one, I'm a huge Sami Zayn fan. Always have been since the Generico days.
Yes.
However, him getting the title shot at Mania over the Chad Gable story, especially because Sami's a former Intercontinental Champion. Like, we need to remember this.
Correct.
I think they had a better moment with Gable getting it than they realize.
Okay.
Now, it's not to say, like, there is a high possibility, and watching how that match ended and Gable's comments and all that jazz, I honestly think they can make this a triple threat.
I fully see that, too. Yeah.
And you know, if they did, I'd be okay with it. And I think then if you get the belt off Gunther,
sure,
he can obviously say, nobody pinned me, I'm the uncrowned, blah, blah, blah,
right,
blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then you can obviously move him in the main title picture. Like, you can do something like that, and I think that works.
Yeah.
I hated the fact that they had the opportunity with Gable because everybody knew Sammy was going to get this.
Right.
Because he's going back into the underground status, which is fine, and I'm not mad about it.
Sure.
But I'm just like, in comparison, you had this amazing story with Gable and family and like everything. And I just think that that's money left on the table if it stays a stat quo. Mm-hmm. If they switch it to something else, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm happy to see Sammy there and see him get a singles moment at Mania will be awesome. Hope, because I expect Gunther's going to lose this match at Mania. You know, he's held the belt, you know, for a record length of time. What more is there to do? This isn't, you know, a Roman type scenario where there are still more record title lengths ahead of him that, like, oh, if he holds it till SummerSlam, he'll have held it X more days and then he'll be at this person's record. Like, no, there's nobody literally ahead of him. So there's no better time to do this. The only reason I could see Gunther winning this match is, let's not forget, they've got the Berlin show coming up here in the next couple of months, whenever it is. I could see him main eventing that show and holding a belt and going into, you know, Berlin and Germany, you know, being the title holder there. I hope that's not the case, but, you know, we'll see. I agree with you that seeing Gable would have been a great moment for him if he won. But the thing that worries me for that is, at least in my eyes, if we go down this hypothetical path of it's Gunther, it's Gable, not Sammy, and Gable beats Gunther. My only fear with that is, yes, you know, the moment will be awesome. It'll be one of the greatest WrestleMania moments of all time and all that. But then the only fear for me is then it turns into, you know, like a Kofi Kingston type scenario where it's, okay, well, what now? You know, for Gable, the only reason I feel like a lot, he's, don't get me wrong, legitimately a good wrestler. He impresses the fuck out.
He's amazing,
When he goes to do those, like, deadlift suplexes and it's guys three times his size, I go, how the fuck? Oh, my God, you're doing this. Like, it impresses the shit out of me. He's a great wrestler. But I feel like for a lot of folks, the only reason they're invested in this story is the chase. It was the moment a couple of months ago on an episode of Raw where he went against Gunther for the belt and his family was in the crowd and his kids were in the crowd and it was like his kid's first time or whatever seeing him wrestle and he didn't do it. So that's the only fear I have with that is if he gets into this and if he wins, it's going to turn into a, well, what now?
Yeah.
It's not going to be an, hey, let's see him elevate the title and do all this and elevate the stock and this. Like, it's going to be an, all right, well, what now?
The only thing I could say to encountering that, and I can see that happening.
Sure.
Is unless they wanted to get the belt off, like, Gable would just be a stopgap.
Sure.
Like, get the WrestleMania moment and then Backlash, he loses.
Sure.
To maybe a Braun Breaker, maybe for reasons, Jey Uso.
Could be.
I mean, there's ways to do it. I just think that the better story at the moment would have been that. But I understand why they gave it to Sammy, and I'm not mad about it. Like, there's no point that I'm fuming.
Yeah.
I just think that they left money on the table.
The other matchup that got announced, and this was jointly announced by Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce, the GM of SmackDown and Raw, respectively, that there is going to be a six-pack ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships, and that will be the Judgment Day with Finn Balor and Damian Priest defending their belts against five teams to be determined, the challengers of which will be determined across a couple episodes of Raw and SmackDown, with three teams from Raw and two teams from SmackDown. Well, this is going to be fucking nuts.
It's going to be insane.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, it shows that they're putting faith in the tag team division.
Oh, you know what they're going to do, and I can't believe I didn't think of it till just now. Corbin and Breaker.
Yeah, that could be.
I could see them coming together.
That could be. I wouldn't doubt that. I honestly don't know if they would do. I think they could. Unless they have some. I mean, Breaker is going to be part of WrestleMania. There's no question. But him and Corbin, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Especially if we want to elevate NXT.
DIY probably.
Yeah, DIY will be in it. I think the Creed brothers. And if they're taking a 13 from Raw, it's going to be the Awesome Truth. I still think they win at the end of the night.
Probably.
Like, that's going to be the moment they win.
Probably.
And then from SmackDown, I think it's going to be British Strong Style there. I can't think of their new
team name. Pete Dunne. Yeah.
It's going to be Pete and Tyler. I can't think. And I would love to see Pretty Deadly just because of reasons.
Oh, why not?
Yeah. I'd
love to see that.
Yes, boy.
The other one that was teased, but it's not been officially announced yet, is a little brother on brother crime. Little family dispute. Maybe we can get a certain father to be a special guest referee.
Yeah.
Jimmy versus Jey Uso, teased for WrestleMania.
Great promo to open up Monday Night Raw. I fully think this is going to open night one.
I can see it.
Yeah, because I think that crowd's going to be hot. Jey comes down, does the yeet, and gets the whole hand gestures going. That
crowd's going to be nuts.
It's going to be insane. Like, that's the perfect way you can open up the show.
Yeah.
The only other way you could do it, but I don't know if I necessarily would do it at that moment, is the tag belt with the ladder match, because that's just going to be out of control. But I think if they open with night one with Jey versus Jimmy, that's going to be that's your pace car right there. That's going to be the one to really watch.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different storylines they got time to set up. I mean, we still haven't figured out what's going on with the U.S. title just yet.
Right.
I mean, all signs point to Logan Paul versus Randy Orton, but they could also make that a triple threat with Kevin Owens.
I also now think, given the news that was announced today, I don't think Logan is losing.
Given
the news that they announced today, I thought he was losing before. I don't think he's losing now.
Well, we could talk about that news, and I'll kind of give you a counter buffer there.
Okay. So the news they announced today, and this was they teased on Monday Night Raw that Logan Paul's impulsive podcast today, he would have a special announcement for WWE. And that announcement was that this summer, taking place in Cleveland, Ohio, specifically at the home of the Cleveland Browns, is going to be SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm. Great place for it. Cleveland will be hot for it. I'm going to go out on a bold prediction here.
Okay.
He's going to drop that U.S. title.
Okay.
He could be facing Cody Rhodes for that world title.
Ooh.
Okay. Don't put that out of perspective just yet. In fact, I'm not doubting that maybe they would split the world titles up.
Yeah.
You know, so to speak. Well, they've already done that, I should say, rather.
Right.
But, you know what, because I'm so used to seeing Roman with so many belts, that's what I'm thinking.
Usually he's carrying three.
Yeah, so it does throw me off for a bit, so apologize for that. I could honestly see Logan taking on Cody for that show.
Yeah, I could
or
see
He'll get into a title picture no matter what.
Logan versus Miz, loser leaves town.
Oh, my God. Well, that depending on what Logan wants to do there.
Special guest referee, LeBron James.
Well, that could be fun. That could be really fun. I honestly think though Logan's going to be in a world title match of that.
Let's just make it as Cleveland as possible. Special musical intro, MGK.
Oh. You know whoever he's facing would come out with some M&M just for reasons.
Ooh, if you know, you know.
Yep. I honestly think for him getting back to WrestleMania though, I think it is going to be an interesting triple threat, because I think with Kevin Owens still being in that picture, it could happen, because they don't really have anything for him right now.
Yeah.
So it would make a lot of sense. I mean, I'm still throwing out there, I don't think they would do, after the tag team match was announced, that they do another crazy scramble match.
I wouldn't think so.
But you'd have to think LA Knight,
Yeah.
And AJ Styles have to be in that mix, unless they're going to just make him a special attraction, which, listen, that's still a good match for LA.
I can see it being an attraction match or something crazy on night one.
Yeah. So, I mean, we definitely have to keep that in mind. But they are piecing it together. Like I say, it's going to be two great nights of pro wrestling, and the eyes of pop culture are going to be watching. And that's what The Rock does. And WWE is going to put on their best foot forward.
Yeah, a couple of Hall of Fame announcements. We knew Paul Heyman was going to be inducted. Also getting inducted, Bull Nakano, one-time WWF Women's Champion, as a group, the U.S. Express.
Yes.
Two-time WWF Tag Team Champion. And then posthumously in the celebrity wing, Muhammad Ali.
Nothing but wins in this year's class.
The leak on Reddit thus far is proving to be true.
Yes.
The leak on Reddit is, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4 for 4 right now. There's a couple more that, oh boy, it might be true.
Well, we have to wait and see, because I know they usually don't go over 6.
Correct.
So I would say Haku is still my pick.
Okay.
To get in. After that, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to kind of leave it open-ended.
Okay.
I would not doubt maybe a Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
Because I think with ECW.
Yeah.
But I think there you're going to see at least one more again there. Maybe a Rob Van Dam. Like I could see something
Well,
I think depending on the circumstances, he's not a contracted AEW guy.
Oh, okay.
No, he's just been coming in for one.
Okay.
So, because I mean, honestly, you could say the same thing for Tommy with Impact, but there's TNA, but there's more of a working relationship.
Right.
There.
They would let that happen.
Yeah. I think the only one safe right now is Haku. I fully think he's coming in. But we all have to wait and see. But WrestleMania is shaping up very nicely. WWE programming is doing big numbers.
Yeah.
AEW very briefly has their big business show happening this Wednesday as we're recording. All eyes are going to be watching and see about Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks, debuting, if that is really happening or what is going on. They have
Tony's sure teasing the shit it will be.
Well, like I say, I think he has to deliver on it. And then the question mark after that, which we'll be talking about on Wrestling Night Live, is where does AEW go from here?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've added in a ton of main event players to an already oversaturated roster.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance all this? And that's going to be a very big question mark for Tony Khan to deal with,
mm-hmm,
going into a new pay-per-view dynasty.
Yep.
And then obviously Double or Nothing happening after that. So it will be an interesting time to be a pro wrestling fan, with obviously big events happening left and right, but obviously none more bigger than WrestleMania.
Absolutely.
So that being said, hit us up on the hashtag ODPagePod. What is your thoughts about the road to WrestleMania so far? Do you like the additions of the Intercontinental title, the tag team titles being officially announced? And what is your take on AEW this week? We can talk a little bit about that. I mean, if Mercedes Moné debuts, I mean, is that enough for AEW to take the next step?
Is that a hashtag game changer?
Yes. Hit us up. Let us know if you even want more pro wrestling content. Make sure to drop that subscribe button every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to Wrestling Night Live on Nerd Initiative YouTube and streaming services. That being said, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Tom from Tom Joe Lou.
This is Matt from Sideroom Sounds.
And you're listening to ODPH Podcast.
Wanna go where no one knows my name? To the desert, the oceans, or the plains?
Coming back for the final segment on this edition of the ODPH Podcast. Pad, what you got?
Got a couple things to talk about. First of which is the local minute. We've got to look at the standings for the Federal Prospects Hockey League, and specifically the Empire Division, because that is the division our local Binghamton Black Bears play in. Another week. Still in first place.
Let's go.
Through 42 games played, they have a record of 27 wins in regulation, 6 losses, 7 losses in either overtime or shootout. They have no wins in overtime, but they do have 2 shootout wins. They're in first place with 92 points. They're ahead of Motor City in second place with 79 points. Danbury's in third place with 69 points. Elmira's in fourth place with 52 points. And Watertown is in fifth place with 48 points. And I should also note, there's a little X next to the Binghamton Black Bears name and logo there, which means they have clinched a playoff spot.
Let's go.
So also in the Federal Prospects Hockey League in the Continental Division, you've got 2 other teams that have clinched a playoff spot, Columbus and Carolina. So Federal Prospect Hockey League playoffs are coming here very soon.
Exciting times.
Yeah. Then looking at the schedule from the past week for the Binghamton Black Bears, they had 2 games, the first of which was on Friday, March 8th, where they were on the road playing the Elmira River Sharks. They won that game by the final score of 5-3, came back Saturday on the road against the Danbury Hat Tricks and lost that game by the final score of 5-4 in overtime. only have, they got a couple of games this weekend, all three of which are at home. So if you have not seen them this season, it's a great weekend to do so. First of which is Friday, March 15th, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern. They're at home playing the Mississippi Seawolves. Then they come back Saturday, March 16th at 7.05 p.m. Eastern, playing those same Mississippi Seawolves. And then Sunday, March 17th at 4 p.m. Eastern, they're at home playing the Elmira River Sharks. So for more tickets, information, all that good stuff, BinghamtonBlackBears.com. Playoffs coming soon. Should also note, baseball coming soon. Major League Baseball starts here in about 2-3 weeks. Rumble Ponies start in about 25 days, according to their website. Start off the regular season at home on Friday, April the 5th against New Hampshire, where I forget her name and I apologize, but the woman locally who is on The Voice on NBC
is
singing the national anthem.
Okay.
At the Rumble Ponies game.
We'll definitely mention that in the liner notes.
Yeah.
No, that's exciting times. I mean, baseball coming back. I mean, obviously, what's better in the summertime?
Not much else.
First indication of that happening.
Yeah.
But before we get out of here, we got to talk a little bit of UFC.
Yeah.
Obviously, this past weekend, UFC 299 taking place from Miami.
Yeah.
Big moves happening, so let's kind of break it down very quickly.
On the main card in the bantamweight division, Peter Yan defeated Song Yadong via unanimous decision. All three judges scoring the contest 29-28.
Yan looked back in form. Mm-hmm. Super happy about this one.
Then in the welterweight division, Jack Della Maddalena defeated Gilbert Burns via knockout in the third round.
This one hurt watching, but JDM, I mean, I just doing big things right there. So obviously he's getting himself pushed to the top of the card there. Gilbert Burns, man, that was just a tough loss. Mm-hmm. Super tough.
Then in the welterweight division, MVP Michael Venom Page defeated Kevin Holland via unanimous decision.
To be expected. Mm-hmm. MVP is going to be making a lot of noise now in the UFC.
Hell of an entrance.
Hell of an entrance, too.
Ooh, I loved it.
Yes.
Then in the co-main event of the evening in the lightweight division, Dustin Poirier defeated Benoit Saint-Denis. Via knockout, I should say.
I don't want to say like we kind of expected this, and nothing against Saint-Denis, but I mean, Poirier is just on a different level. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew this was going to be a big task for Saint-Denis, but I mean, Poirier just proved why he's one of the top fighters in the game right now. So
yeah. And then in the main event of the evening, in the bantamweight division, Sean O'Malley defended his belt, defeating Marlon Vera via unanimous decision. Two judges scoring the contest 50-45. The other judge scoring the contest 50-44.
Brutal.
Based off the scores, yeah.
I mean, this one, I thought Vera was going to put up a bigger fight. And just, I don't know if it's the spotlight. I don't know what it was.
Right.
I mean, O'Malley obviously having a little championship swag.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely stepped his game up. He looked great in this.
Right.
Now it's a question. He's got Merab coming up. I think he's really going to be tested there.
Right.
I'm even going to tell you right now, I like Merab a lot in that fight.
Oh, yeah.
But this one, I was a little bit of redemption for Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, is one of those, he really looked good, especially that flying knee he threw. I mean, that thing's gone viral. So
yeah.
If you haven't seen that, definitely check that out. And like I said, I think all signs point to him and Merab, and that's going to be absolute violence when that happens.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, solid night of fights coming from UFC 299, and like I say, inching one day closer to UFC 300.
Yeah. Then we got to finish off with some NFL news because there were some announcements that were done as we recorded. First of which is the Bears are giving former Chargers tight end Gerald Everett a two-year contract.
Okay.
Then you have the Colts re-signing Kenny Moore II to a 3-year contract.
Hmm.
Eagles and the former Patriots wide receiver Devontae Parker reached on a 1-year contract.
How are you feeling about that?
Fine. He never really was phenomenal in New England unless I was playing Madden, so meh. Then you have, and I'm reading all of these from Adam Schefter's Twitter page, then you have former Patriots safety Jalen Mills reached an agreement on a 1-year deal with the Giants.
Okay.
So a former Eagle, now playing for the Giants. Former Dolphins defensive tackle Raekwon Davis is signing a 2-year deal with the Indianapolis Colts.
Interesting.
Then you've got Dan Skipper re-signing with the Detroit Lions on a 1-year deal, according to Jeremy Fowler.
Okay.
Daniel Hunter is going to the Houston Texans on a 2-year, $49 million.
Ooh.
$49 million.
Wow.
Here's the one I'm interested to see how you react to.
Okay.
Former Buffalo Bills safety Jordan Poyer.
Okay.
Is signing with the Miami Dolphins.
Dead to me.
On a 1-year deal. This according to Drew Rosenhaus.
Et tu, Brute. I don't like it.
I didn't think you would.
No, but I mean, obviously, like I said last year, he was 1 foot out the door. I'm not super shocked at this. That could have something to do with it. Those games will be interesting. Bills Mafia, I don't think we'll be giving him a very warm welcome to return.
Oh, what are you talking about? It'll be love and respect. Never mind the fact they got a knife in their hand.
Yeah, exactly. Bills Mafia is not going to tolerate this. So we'll have to wait to see. I think if Hyde comes with him, I'm going to be very, very angry. So, did they say how much the contract was worth or no?
No.
Yeah. Either way, it's still Bills Mafia all day, every day with me. So, you know, I knew Porter. I don't know what happened to him after he left. That's where I'm going to leave it. And that being said, for anything else that is the ODPH, you can find it at odphpodcast.com. That's it for this week of sports. So, Pad,
fuck the Astros.
I'm your host, Ken M. I'm still angry about that move, but I'll get over it by next episode. Trust me. Thank you, as always, for listening to the ODPH podcast, better known as the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour. We'll see you next time.
It's such a waste of time, swiping left and swiping right on people you could know. 'Cause anyone who's worth a damn be worth way more than a picture could ever show. You could find the right light, find the right angle, and never find your soul. And it can feel like a losing battle, and this plot is full of holes. This modern way of finding love just makes me feel so alone. And I can't be the only one sick of staring at my phone. So look up, talk to me. A better way to spend our energy. Just look up, talk to me. Time fable, everyone has just one true love. All I know is you're across this table, and you're all I'm thinking of. So look up, talk to me. A better way to spend our energy. Just look up, talk to me. Swiping left and swiping right on people you could know.